Good evening. It's truly an honor to be here. It's not just an opportunity to speak to a Choshev HaOlam, but to have even a small part in such an organization which is dedicated to help the Tzibur. Whenever I get the email from the organization, I look at it and I marvel how in today's day and age people are actually focusing each year to try to elevate themselves. The bracha, I guess, that I can give you is the one that we all say on every single Shabbos at the end of Yom Kippur, Kim v'chol ha'oskim b'tzarchei tzibur be'emuna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yishalem scharam v'yosem mehem kol machalo v'yipol l'chol gufam v'yislach l'chol avoinam v'yislach bracha v'hatzor v'chol masi yedeichem. And that's truly a blessing for those that are involved, including those that participate by coming and participating in the program itself. Recently I came across an interesting book. The title of the book was The 100 Greatest Heroes, Inspiring Profiles of 100 Men and Women Who Changed the World. And supposedly the book spanned from the biblical to modern times, and it listed the 100 greatest heroes. Some of the names I think we're all familiar with. For example, Christopher Columbus was number 7 on the list. Congratulations, Mr. Columbus. Winston Churchill was number 4. FDR was number 3. Abraham Lincoln was 2nd. George Washington was 1st. A couple of other names that kind of surprised me. Golda Meir was 64th. Moshe Dayan was 63rd. And one of all the names that really surprised me was in the number 4 slot, in number 74 slot, was Babe Ruth. But these are the 100 heroes spanning from biblical to modern day times. There was one name that wasn't on there and which I was very much surprised, especially when you take into account the definition of a hero. According to Greek and Roman mythology, the word hero was used to describe the people whose courageous actions brought favor from their gods. And the one name that I was very surprised that wasn't on there was someone that we're all familiar with, someone that we just read about yesterday, and that was Noah. Why wasn't Noah on that list? After all, Noah, we are here because of Noah. Noah built the Teva and literally saved the world. And Noah was very courageous. In fact, the Medrash tells us that the people of the generation taunted him. And they said to him, they embarrassed him. And Amru Lo, they said, Zokain, this old man, Teva Zulama, why are you building this ark? He was building it for 120 years. Imagine year number 79. I guess on a Monday morning he's banging in some nails and they're going by, they're going, you've been doing this for 79 years. What are you doing this? He said, I've got another 50 years to go. Amazing. They were taunting him. And Noah said to them, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe I'll let him as a marble. And they said, marble shall ma? Yeah, really? Marble? What's going to be this marble? What is it going to look like? In marble shalash, if it's a marble of fire, don't worry, we'll figure it out. And they gave their suggestion how they would overcome the issue of this ball of fire coming upon them. Im shal mayim. And if this marble is going to be of water, it depends. If it comes from the ground, we'll be able to resolve it. If it comes from shamayim, we'll be able to solve it. And with great courage, under the taunts of the people of his generation, Noah stood firm. He built the Teva 120 years and he saves the world. Tremendous legacy that Noah left. He, Noah, literally almost single-handedly saves the world. And yet Noah is not included in the listing of the 100 heroes supposedly from biblical times. Why? So I don't know if the author had this in mind, but let me mention the Zohar. The Zohar says that there's a reason why in the Haftorah that we learned yesterday, the marble is called Mei Noach. Mei Noach? What did Noach do? All he did was help to save the rest of the world. So the answer, says the Zohar, is something that is astounding. The Zohar says that the reason why the flood was called Mei Noach, because Noach could have and should have prayed for his generation. Noach, you could have saved your generation if you would have only prayed. Remarkable. Here's a generation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach, it's doomed, forget it. And yet, the Zohar says, Noach could have prayed to save the generation. This is the example of the incredible power of tefillah. The Zohar is telling us, Noach could have prevented the flood, he could have saved the world from destruction. And we need to know that the lesson of the Zohar is not only applicable then, the lesson of the Zohar is very much applicable now. We all know the world is in complete disarray. Eretz Yisrael is gripped with fear as terrorism is rampant in Eretz Yisrael indiscriminately. Iran, who threatens many times to wipe Israel off the map, unfortunately very soon they will have the ability to do so. This past Wednesday night, my son came home from Eretz Yisrael. He was there for a week, and he told me that, and he's been there many, many times, that this is the first time that he can remember that literally the people in the streets were gripped with fear. They were desperate. They were looking over their shoulders. They see someone walking. They don't know who it is. They cross the street. They won't stand next to someone who they don't even know because of the indiscriminate nature of those terrorist attacks. You know, it's bad enough when we hear about the terrible news coming out of Eretz Yisrael. But it's another thing if you personally know someone who's been harmed or killed in the terrorism that has recently shook Eretz Yisrael. My son, the reason why he went to Eretz Yisrael, because he was close to Rabbi Eitam Henkin. Rabbi Eitam Henkin was the great-grandson of the illustrious Rabbi Henkin, who was one of the Poiskim Ador, one of the foremost Poiskim Ador in America, in the 50s and early 60s, I guess. And Rabbi Henkin in Eretz Yisrael, the one that Nebuch was murdered together with his wife in front of their four children. My son heard about it. He came rushing over to my home and literally in tears, he told me that he's beside himself. That how could it be someone of that age, 31 years old, and someone who was growing tremendously in Torah and someone who was involved in helping my son put together the Svarma Rav Henkin, that something like this, this tragedy can happen. And he asked his Rebbe, Rav Shmuel Kabanetsky, whether he should go to the Shiva, and Rav Shmuel told him, of course. And right after Sukkot, he got on a plane and he went there for a week. People in Eretz Yisrael are desperate. According to an article that I read recently from Esha Torah, although once before did Israel experience such an utter desperation. It was back in 1967 when Nasser promised to conquer Israel and to drive the Jews into the sea. The armies were amassed around the borders. The Jews, Israel, was outnumbered in planes, tanks, and other weapons, troops. And they literally waited to be overturned, to be overcome, to be overrun. In fact, Prime Minister Levi Eshkol broke down in tears during a radio interview when he was addressing the nation. And then, of course, we all know what history, what took place. There was a miracle in 6 days. Israel trounced the enemies. They took over all the major Jewish holy places, the Mekomos HaKadoshim, and they tripled its territory. And if you read the account, according to the military historians, they credit the strategies. They say Israel's victory was flying below the radar, destroying Egypt's entire army during the first hour of the war. But according to one of Israel's preeminent military journalists who wrote an article in the 1992 Jerusalem Report, he said that many of the coincidences, the way it appeared as coincidences, really weren't such. An example, he writes, On the morning of the attack, Egyptian officers stationed at the radar station in northern Jordan picked up the scrambling Israeli aircraft and sent a red alert message to Cairo. The sergeant in the decoding room of the Supreme Command tried to decipher the message using the previous day's code, and he failed. And he put the cable down and he totally forgot about it. The message was also received in the operations room of the general staff, but no duty officer was there to handle it. Kahane of Kahane, similarly, other examples in that report about the so-called coincidences. Interesting, immediately after Israel was victorious in the Six-Day War, Moshe Dayan, you know, he of the number 75 on the list, wherever number he was on the heroes list, Moshe Dayan went to the Kotel and he prayed and he wrote down something on a piece of paper and he crumpled it up and he put it in between the stones of the Kotel. And of course, when he left, the reporters were very curious to see what he wrote. And this is what he wrote. This is by Moshe Dayan, the secular military hero. He wrote a quote from Tehillim. From God this has come about. It is wondrous in our eyes. Remarkable. Because you see, that is the Jewish paradigm. When despair impels us to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then miraculous redemption ensues. It has happened over and over, going all the way back to Mitzrayim. When Klal Yisrael realized that they were surrounded with the Yam in front of them and the Egyptians behind them and the Chayos on the either side of them and they had no solution, they turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in prayer and they had their salvation. And it's no wonder that that is the case. The Sefer Yikrim tells us, HaTfila HaSegula HaMeyuchedes. Tfila is the segula, the one and only. Shehi toya l'chol hadvarim, that helps for everything. It's true, the tztaka and toya, tremendous segulos. But tfila helps l'chol hadvarim. The Sefer Yikrim writes, l'refuas hacholim, it helps to make people feel better, those that are sick. V'toya l'hatzel mimobes. V'toya l'ra, for hunger. The toil amulchama, as we've experienced time again. And the Sefer Yikrim completes his little piece and he writes, V'lo nimtza mitzvah shetor l'chol advarim elat tefila. Tefila helps for everything. And when a person is desperate, as we are now once again when it comes to the situation in Eretz Yisrael, once again we reach out for the most powerful weapon, and that's tefila. But if we're going to use this most powerful weapon, how do we maximize its effectiveness? How do we maximize the power that is inherent in the Koach HaTfila? Well, to put it another way, the title of tonight's lecture, what is the secret to more powerful prayer? So I'd like to suggest the Gemara. The Gemara is in Rosh Hashanah, Dav Yud Ches Omer Aleph. Listen to the Gemara. Shnayim Sha'olu Lamito. There are two people who took ill with the same exact illness. Two criminals that are convicted of the same crime. One got up and got better and the other one didn't. He succumbed to his illness. And one was ultimately acquitted of his crime and the other one was not. And the Gemara asks, "Bipnei mazeh yorad v'zeh lo yorad? Why did one ultimately get up from his illness and was able to walk around healthy v'zeh lo yorad, and the other one wasn't able to? And zeh nitzel v'zeh lo nitzel? One was saved and the other one wasn't." So the Gemara answers, "Zeh hispalel v'nene, zeh hispalel v'lo nene. One prayed and he was answered, and the other one prayed and he was not answered." And the Gemara asked, "Mitnei ma nene, mitnei ma ze nene, v'zeh lo nene?" The one that was answered, why? They both prayed, they both had the exact same situation. And yet one was saved and the other one wasn't. The Gemara answers, "Zeh hispalel tefilah shleima nene." The one that prayed a tefilah shleima, a complete prayer, he was answered. He was answered, he was saved. Baruch Hashem. V'zeh lo hispala el tefilah shleima. The other one did not pray a tefilah shleima lo nena. What's considered to be a tefilah shleima? So Rashi says one word, nischaven. Nischaven. What does nischaven mean? The literal translation, I believe, of nischaven means he had kavana. He prayed with kavana, with a focus, with an intent, and with a concentration. If we want our tefillahs to be successful, if we want to maximize the power of our prayer, if we want to know what is the secret to more powerful prayer, the answer is kavana. To kavana, to have kavana. Now, you know, we think kavana means that we have to get involved in all the elaborate, deep and hidden secrets of the meaning of the words. So Nefesh HaChaim tells us that that's not true. There's no way an individual can be able to understand the deep meaning that's embedded in the words that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the men of the Great Assembly, wrote for the words of Tefillah for our benefit. And therefore, said the Nefesh HaChaim, when we talk about kavana, we're talking about have the simple translation, the meaning of the words. And we ourselves mention the importance of kavana. At the end of Shemona Esrei, Yiyu l'ratzon imrei fi, v'hegyon libi lifonecha, Hashem tzuri v'goali. May the expressions of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart find favor with you, Hashem, my rock and my redeemer. It is the thoughts in our heart that really count. There's no doubt that the words have tremendous, tremendous power. But if we really want to maximize our prayer, said the Abu Draham, anyone who wishes to have his prayers answered, he says, increasing kavana is the essential starting point. Yet, there's a paradox. Because it seems we all know about the power of prayer. We've all experienced the power of prayer. When there's a tzara, Rachmana Litzlana in Eretz Yisrael, as we are experiencing in today's day and age, we get together to be able to utilize the power of prayer. And yet on a day-to-day basis, it seems to disappear. It seems to evaporate. Our mind starts to wander. It seems so difficult to be able to utilize this power of prayer, which is kavana. And the question is, why is that so? Why in the day-to-day prayer, when we come into shul, as many times for shakras, for mincha, for ma'ariv, and we want to utilize the power of prayer, something seems to happen. What happens when we come in on our day-to-day adventure into our shul in order to pray? So I think that the most basic answer lies in the fact that on a daily basis, we do not perceive that there is an urgent need to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Think about it. When a person has a headache, what do? We take an aspirin, as we should. We make our istadlus. But I don't know if we say a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let the aspirin do its job for us. And if the aspirin doesn't help, we call up the doctor. And we go to the doctor. I don't know if we say a prayer that let the doctor be the right messenger in order to heal us. And if that doesn't help, you know what happens? Then when they call in the specialists and the situation becomes urgent, then, and almost only then, do we then say, you know something, let's be makabel to say this to heal him, or let's try to daven this way a little bit better, a little bit more slowly, with a little bit more kavana. And the truth is, we can't be faulted for that. Because man has tremendous power. We're able to uncover so many illnesses. Our advancement in technology is such that we lull ourselves into believing that we have everything in our control. That of course, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to help, if he can't help, of course, there's no doubt, we would ask him to help us. But we may not really need his help, so to speak. Only when the situation gets desperate. Basically what I'm saying is, I don't know if we focus on the need for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, and even in the small stuff in life. And so you know what happens? Let me tell you what happens. This is what happens, says Rav Tzadok HaKohen, and say, for Tzidkus HaTzadok, Ois Kuf Alim, Kedash Kriksha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Roitze Lehetav LaAdam, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do good for a person, the Eibishter wants that a person should daven, because everything comes through the koach, the power of tefillah. And this person is not davening, because everything is fine, the status is quo. It's a small little headache. It's a small little financial loss. Don't worry, we'll have the shidduch. All the myriad of things that a person would daven for if the situation became desperate. Until that happens, doesn't really daven the way you should. And therefore, says Rav Tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to get better. And He wants us to have that parnasa. And He wants that shidduch to happen. But we have to daven for it. And the person's not budging. He's not davening with the tremendous fervor and concentration and kavanah that he did if the situation would have been desperate. Therefore says Rav Tzaddik, you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu does? V'rod tzarak sheyispalo adam al adava oz mazmin lefonot tzar oy pachad me'ein dovezeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to daven for Achenu kol Beis Yisrael o'im debatzorah. Those brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, He wants us to continuously daven for them. But after a while, when the situation is quiet, we lull ourselves into thinking everything's fine. We've got it under the control. Maybe it's the wall, maybe it's the barbed wire, maybe it's the intelligence, maybe it's, who knows, the help from the United States. But don't worry, Israel, they're good, they're smart, they know what they're doing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to daven for them. Just wants us to daven for them. And we're not budging. So therefore, says Rav Tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu roitzel lehetiv la'adam, He brings a tzar and a pachad. And that's exactly what's happening now. Listen to the words of Rav Soloveitchik. In the book, Worship of the Heart, Essays on Jewish Prayer, listen what he says. Said Rav Soloveitchik, and I quote, "Only distress warrants prayer if the mind is not haunted by anxiety, not plagued by tzara, if neither fear nor forlornness assaults the mind, then prayer is an ineffective gesture." This is what we're saying. And it's not only Rav Soloveitchik, others. Let me tell you what Rav Dessler writes in Mefter Melayo, Kehle Gimel, page 273. When a person feels that he's missing something, he wants to go, desire to fill it up. And whatever the person feels that he's missing, he's anxious, he's nervous, he has fear, anxiety, he's unsure, unclear, he doesn't know. He doesn't feel that he's in control. He's about to miss out on something. He's about to lose something. Be it panosa, help, the shidduch, whatever it is. Says the Michta Meloyo, Shom tefillah, over there is the tefillah, lemeluyeh ha-she'ifa, to fill up the she'ifa, the desire. Why, says Rav Dessler, ki kishemargesh ha'odem es atzmei chosar. When a person feels that he's missing something, behechrak pona u'el alamakor, he goes back to the source, l'kabel misham tzorcha l'ashram chesroino. Dessler concludes, but the maimon knows the truth. The maimon knows that even if the person does not feel there's something missing, it's only because of the chazdei Hashem. And whatever he has only because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, that person will always pray with the same fervor, with the same kavanah. So if we want to help to maximize the power of prayer, it's a good idea to gain clarity that we need Hashem's help even in the minutia of life. This concept seems to be emunah and not prayer. And it's true, prayer and emunah are two different ideals in Judaism. But the truth is, if a person wouldn't have emunah, he would have absolutely no reason to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see, when a person prays, he recognizes who he's praying to, and he understands what he's praying for. And therefore, let's call it the engine of prayer is emunah. In fact, if you take a look in Shemona Esrei, the text of Shemona Esrei reads like an exercise in emunah. In the middle brachas of Shemona Esrei, For example, when we talk about Rifa'enu, we say Rifa'enu, Hashem, heal us, and then we express at the end, because you are a Rofe Chole Amo Yisrael, we are expressing our Armune, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is indeed the one that always heals us. So at the end of the day, a vibrant emunah leads to a vibrant prayer. But the question is, Baruch Hashem, we are all ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim. We all have emunah. We all come to Davin. We all come and we do the mitzvahs and we have emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what exactly is missing on the day-to-day exercise in coming to the shul to Davin? What's the element in emunah that we're missing? And what perhaps can we do to kind of move it up a notch to be able to enable us to have kavanah on a day-to-day basis? So if you take a look in the Parshas Noach once again, the Parshas Noach tells us, Ela told us Noach, Noach ish tzadik, tamim hoye b'doi roysa v'esol akim esalak Noach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Noach build a teva. 120 years as I mentioned. And you know what it says? Vayavay Noach ubonov veishto unishnei bonov ito elateva vipnei mayhamabel. When the mabel finally comes after building this teva for 120 years, Noach doesn't go into the teva right away automatically. Imagine this. He's been building this teva for 120 years and he doesn't go in into the teva until he feels the water rising up to his knees. You would think, imagine, if there would be a human king who would say that at a certain time on a certain day we're going to send in the army and we're going to wipe out everybody from the town, everyone's going to die. You think anybody would wait to the last moment to run away? No way. You would walk around and you would tell everyone days before, let's get out of town. We don't want to be around when that happens. Because if the king, boss of Adam, the human king, tells us there's going to be a tragedy in the town, we all better get out of here and fast. And yet, it didn't happen to Noah. Picture this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him there's going to be a mabul. And he's building for 120 years. And yet, at the end when he's building, Noah doesn't go into the teva. What compels him to go into the teva? But nay, meha mabul, because of the waters of the mabul. So Rashi cites a medrash that explains Noach's hesitancy. Listen to the language of the Rashi. Ap Noach miktane emona hoya. Noach was miktane emona hoya maimin ve'ena maimin. He wasn't such a big believer, Noach. Good guy, it's tzaddik. Tamim hoya b'day roysav eshel akim esalach Noach. But on the Amunah side, maybe we'll give him a C+. He was a Maimon Vein or Maimon. It's a Beferish Rashi that cites the Medrash. And the question is, what does that mean? Shall the stipler in his Sefer Birchas Peretz on Chumash, on Parshas Noach, explains, and he said as follows. There's no doubt that Noach was a Maimon. He was a believer. But the difference is, Noach was a Maimon according to his Sefer. He calls it emunah sichlius. He had an intellectual understanding that one must believe in God. He did not have an emunah chushis. An emunah chushis is built on a sensory understanding based on experience. And therefore, says the stipler, if a person wants to grow an emunah, the emunah must be emunah chushis, based on experience and not based on his intellect. Again, let me quote Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik makes the very same distinction about the different qualities of emunah. Said Rav Soloveitchik, abstract experience does not inspire man. This intellectualizing about emunah is not something that will inspire man. Therefore, said Rav Soloveitchik, a belief in God that is solely based on philosophical speculation can be refuted as easily as it can be created. And it contains no basis for actual physical experience of God. Therefore, Rav Soloveitchik implores us, experience God not through your facilities of abstract conceptualization, which dismisses the immediate reality, but taste HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. by feeling him right here and right now. You know what he's saying? What he's saying, a person should relate the positive experiences that we have in life, the pleasures in life, the good times in life, the nachas, the panosa, the health, the friends, the family, all the positive things. What about the fact we get up in the morning and we're able to stand erect? Or the fact that we have clothing, or the fact that we can see? Or the fact that our senses are intact? Or the fact that we have a wonderful shul and a wonderful rav? All those things, those are positive experiences. Connect those positive experiences to the fact, to the source of those blessings. And the source of the blessings is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Her Soloveitchik reminds us, Tamu Uru'u Ki Tov Hashem, Ashrei Hageva Yechus Abo, taste and see that Hashem is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And Rav Dessler says the exact same thing. Rav Dessler in Chelek Aleph, page 315, says that if a person wants to grow spiritually based on his understanding, it ain't going to happen. He says it will have a minimal effect on the individual. He says the most complete way to grow spiritually is to take our understanding and utilize examples and our experiences to relate the two together. That's called an emunah chushis. An emunah chushis, if a person really wants to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we really want to be able to daven with kavanah, the answer is, let's take the wonderful things in our life and let's stop for a moment and be mindful as to where it comes from. You know, when a person makes a bracha, think of the words, what are the meaning of the words of the blessing? Baruch Atah Hashem. Baruch, many of the commentators tell us, Baruch means not that we're blessing God. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Berecha, He is the source of all goodness, of all blessings. Imagine when a person takes something in his hand before he eats it. And he thinks for a moment, he's mindful of the moment. And he connects the positive, beneficial experience of the feeling, of the taste, of the texture, of the sound, of the sight, whatever the person is experiencing that is positive, if we connect that in the moment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the bracha, then our brachas will be different, our emunah will be different, which will help cultivate the feeling that we want to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah. Unfortunately, we grow up learning how to daven. And as children, we don't feel that great need. We don't. You know, everything is fine, we're playing, and we learn how to say the words. Unfortunately, before we become an adult, and we have really important needs, we're not taught to switch from the child reciting tefillah to the adult reciting tefillah. But the truth is, if a person would do that, if a person would be mindful in the moment, and take the experiences, the chushis, the sensory feelings and the experiences that we have, and connect those good moments to the source, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his tefillah would be different and his emunah to be different. People oftentimes say, you know, I've been davening for so many years, it's difficult for me to start. I've got so much ground to uncover. I've got to go back to all my habits of my tefillah throughout all the years. How can I actually make a dent in the way I daven? So I'd like to remind you of the famous Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was a shepherd. He was entirely unlearned until his middle years. Rabbi Akiva had no Jewish lineage to speak of. He descended from converts. Yet Rabbi Akiva rose to great heights in his later years. And the Midrash records for us the turning point of Rabbi Akiva's life. One day at the age of 40, Rabbi Akiva passed a well. He saw a rock with a hole carved into it. He inquired, he asked, who shaped the rock? And he was told that it was caused by the slow but constant dripping of water on top of it. So Rabbi Akiva then reasoned, if the substance as soft as water can penetrate a rock with slow, persistent motion, so too the Torah, which is as hard as iron, can slowly but surely penetrate a person's heart. And that was Akiva's turning point. And of course we all know what happened. He became the great Rabbi Akiva. Many times in life we are inspired by either words, experiences, things that happen to us. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us. It's a moment. It's a moment to change for the better, to do something a little bit better. But unfortunately, we let the moment go by. We don't stop. We're not mindful and slow things down and say, what is that message? But if we would do that, the same way Rabbi Akiva did. Rabbi Akiva didn't stand there and say, I'm 40 years old, I know absolutely nothing. There's no way. Who cares about the rock? It's going to have nothing to do with me. Rabbi Akiva didn't say that. Rabbi Akiva took one thing at a time, and he was persistent. He did it day in and day out, and that started to change Rabbi Akiva into who he was. So may I suggest, number one, the person really wants to pray with kavanah, and to change those rote habits that we all are accustomed to, myself included. And it doesn't matter how many years you've been doing it. It doesn't matter how many tefillahs you said it that way. Take one, may I suggest, before you take a tefillah, take one bracha. One bracha a day. One bracha. The same bracha every single day, day in and day out. Master that bracha. Be coded that bracha. Acquire it. Make it yours. And you'll see that once a person becomes accustomed to saying the one bracha with kavana, Baruch, you are the source. Atah, you Hashem. Adon HaKol. Hoya, Yivahoveh. Melech, Ha'olam of the whole world. Elokeinu Melech, Ha'olam of the whole world. And a person stops to connect the thing that he's about to eat or to drink that gives him pleasure, that makes him feel good. If a person does that, it'll change the way he says brachas. I tried it years ago, and it literally makes a difference. Because you see, what happens is that bracha becomes automatically said with kavana. And then when you have one bracha in your pocket, that bracha is yours, go to the next one. But make sure that you have the first one well in your pocket. It's got to be consistent day in and day out. Why do you think we make so many brachas? So listen what the Rambam says. The Rambam said, brachos rabos tiknu chachomim. You know why? Kedei liska es haborei tomid. It's an opportunity to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly. We all engage in different activities which require a bracha. Imagine if before we started that activity, before or about to say the bracha, we stopped to think, to connect the bracha and the activity, we would fulfill what the Rambam says, that the brachas are there, kedei liska es haborei tomid. So that is number one. Suggestion number one, no matter who you are, no matter how we've been davening, take one bracha a day, when you're eating, when you're drinking, and remember what Rav Soloveitchik tells us, Tamu Ru'u Kitov Hashem. Connect the good, the feeling that you have with the source of all that good. The truth is, it's not just with that bracha. Once you're doing that, may I suggest, pick another bracha. Pick a bracha from the brachas that we say in the morning, the Birchas HaShachar. For example, Malbish Arumim. If you like the clothing that you have on, connect the beauty of the clothing and the feeling of the warmth in the winter to the source of all that. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, when a person connects the experiences that he has, the emunah chushis, then he's able to elevate his emunah and able to elevate his tefillah. I'd like to go back to the Gemara that I mentioned. The Gemara was in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara that I mentioned was about two people that were ill. One got better and the other one didn't. And I mentioned Rashi's explanation that the reason why the person who got better actually got better, because he prayed a Tefillah Shleima. Rashi said Tefillah Shleima means Nishaven. Reb Ella Lapayon says that can't be. Could you imagine two people that are on their deathbed? One has Kavona and the other one doesn't have Kavona? What is he thinking? There's no way, said Reb Ella Lapayon, that the other person who's on his deathbed doesn't have Kavona. Of course he has Kavona. So what does Nishaven mean? For Reb Ella Lapayon wants to say that Nishaven means that he had the confidence that his tefillah will be accepted. The person whose tefillah wasn't accepted was someone who davened. He prayed with Kavona, but he didn't have the confidence that his tefillah will be accepted. And this is something that many people ask. I've had the experience of people in different communities come up to me, and they ask me all the time, can my tefillahs really make a difference? Perhaps the tefillahs of tzaddik can make a difference. Perhaps the tefillah of the rabbi makes a difference. Perhaps the tefillah of a rabbim, depending on the level of the people, make a difference. Is it actually true that my tefillah can make a difference? So let me tell you something. Everyone's tefillah is important. Everyone's tefillah makes a difference. For Moshe Feinstein in Igris Moshe Yeredeya, Volume Dalid, Simon Nun Aleph, writes the following. Listen to this. Says Rav Moshe, Tfilas kol adam ru'uyeh shetiskabo v'tishoma. The tefillah of every single individual is worthy to be accepted and to be heard. Behechrach sheshayach sheyiskabo lap tefillas anshei pshutim u'bali averos. Rav Moshe tells us the simplest person, or even someone who's a bali averi, his tefillah is important. His tefillah is valuable. Shalakain called tefillah nechshavas ruya til diskabel. Every person's tefillah is considered to be worthy. Every person's tefillah is important. Not only that, when Rav Tzadik HaKohen discusses emunah, he writes in Sitkus HaTzadik, Kesheim shetzarech adam lahamin b'Hashem yizbarach. You know what emunah is? Emunah is that we have to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But kach tzarech achakach lahamin b'yatzmo. A person has to believe in his own worth, in his own value. We are all bottom to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are all valuable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves each and every one of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us to benefit from this world. Vayar Elikim es kol asher osa v'hinei tov ma'od. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have pleasure in this world. He wants us to succeed in this world, but He wants to hear from us. And it doesn't matter if the person hasn't been davening for many years, or if the person is maybe like Rav Moshe said, the Bali Avera. You see, each person is a Tzelem Elokim. Each person has that spark of godliness. Rav Tzadok HaKohen reminds us that Emunah doesn't just mean that there is a God in the world who's running the world. Emunah also means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about each and every one of us. If you ask the question, does it matter to Hashem if I daven with Kavona? The answer is, says Rav Tzadok, absolutely. Does it matter if I come to davening on time? Says Rav Tzadok, absolutely. Because your tefillah and my tefillah and everyone's tefillah is important. Yisrael, the word Yisrael, yei shishim ribu osios la Torah. If there's one os that's missing, one os that's missing from the Torah. The Torah is puzzle. We're all in this together. As one united nation, as one united people, each one has a job to fulfill in this world. Each individual's contribution is so valuable to the shleimus of the world. Each person's tefillah is needed and is necessary. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting to hear that person's tefillah. So whenever a person says, you know something, maybe a tefillah of someone who's greater than I am, there's no doubt that the greater that a person is, the tefillah can accomplish a tremendous amount. But it's also true that no matter who the individual is, if you have a neshama, and you do, and if you're a tzelem elokim, and you are, then your tefillah is so valuable, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's valuable to the way the situation in Eretz Yisrael will be resolved. Eretz Yisrael needs all of our tefillahs, each individual tefillah. Anshei Pshutim, Balei Avera, the Tzaddikim, everyone. Because we're all in this together as one nation. We're all Barim, Atem Hashem Elokeichem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves each and every one of us as an individual child. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that person, he sees only that person. And then there's the next person, he sees only that person. As the Mishnah tells us, Chayev Adam Loima Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, that the world was created for me. The Mishnah doesn't say it's a good idea. The Mishnah doesn't say, you know something, it would be nice. The Mishnah says, Chayev Adam Loima. And you know what the Pshat is, says Rashi, Choshuv Ani Ki Olam Molei. So the next time you think, will my prayer actually make a difference? Don't HaKadosh Baruch Hu really want to hear from little old me? The answer is absolutely. And yes, every smallest amount of the increase in kavanah that an individual have, that makes his tefillah so much more powerful. That helps for himself, for his family, for his community, and for Achenu, for Beis Yisrael. I'm going to end with something which is a hopeful message. I began tonight with a message of fear and desperation coming from Eretz Yisrael. It's not because I wanted to. When I was speaking to Mr. Rosen several weeks ago, so this was not going to be on my agenda to mention, to talk about. But unfortunately, it's a situation that we have to deal with. So I have to start out with a message about fear in Eretz Yisrael. And I'd like to end with a message of hope. Truth is, we live in a very difficult world. It's a morally decadent world. There are no values, there are no morals, there's no honesty, there's no humanity, there's no truth. The world is devoid of any recognition of God by and large. We live in a terrifying time where killing and things of that nature are rampant. The question is, we hear so often that we are very, very close to the Geula, that this is a time at the end of the days when the Geula, you can literally feel it, that it's in the air. You take a look at the situation around the world. Can a generation such as ours actually have the power to bring the redemption? So I'd like to mention a medrash. It's a medrash of hope. The medrash explains that when Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people that they would be redeemed from Mitzrayim, they told Moshe Rabbeinu, how can we be redeemed? We don't have good deeds. Egypt is full of all of our idols. Moshe responded, said the Medrash, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires to redeem you. He does not look at much at your bad deeds. To whom does Hashem look? To the righteous ones amongst you. You see, the redeeming power of a righteous minority, and I'm referring to everyone sitting here this evening, because you are all part of the so-called minority of people in the world. If there are 7 billion or so, a little bit more people in the world, and how many people are Shomrei Torah U'mitzvos? How many people identify with trying to increase their spirituality? It's a miut, it's a very small amount. I call it the minority, the righteous minority. The portion of Jews who try to increase their spiritual standing in the world with the performance of mitzvahs, the study of Torah, and to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just like we found when Avraham Avinu interceded on Sidon's behalf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu at that time, if I find in Sidon 50 righteous people in the midst of the city, then I will spare the entire place on their account. That's the power of the righteous minority. Says the Chafetz Chaim, it's going to come the time at the end before the Geula will come. And most of the world will be astray and there will be that righteous minority. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the righteous minority has to know that they have the power to bring the Geula. And it's true, in the prior generations, maybe they were greater than we are. But the Chafetz Chaim explains, with the Medrash that tells us, one thing in distress is better than 100 in ease. You see, if we live in such a difficult times, and we all cling so much and so close to Torah and mitzvahs, and the unbelievable Kiddush Hashem that everybody here is involved in year in and year out with each one module after the other. I'm telling you, it's truly amazing. I'm despoiled from it. That's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. To be able to do that in the darkness of the world, says Rav Tzadok HaKohen. When the world is so dark, you take a match and you light it. It illuminates the whole room. It's true the prior generations may have been greater. But if you light a match in a very light room, you don't see the match. It doesn't accomplish much. The darker the room, the greater is the illumination from the smallest light. And therefore, our generation, as bad and as difficult that it is outside the confines of the four walls of the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash, we have such a tremendous power to be able to bring light in this world. We have such a tremendous power to be able to bring the Geula. Mr. Meloyo explains the following. He said, Oyhavi Achai, my beloved brothers, Taminuli, believe me. For whom Malay B'chola Svarim is found in many, many Svarim. Ashema Shehoyu Tzrichim Atzadikim Arishonim. What it took for the tzaddikim, the beginning. Lahasig b'kama yomim v'chadoshim, it took them many days and months to be able to understand. Efshe ka'esh l'sakim v'shor akas. We can accomplish in one moment. He says, v'im kainim therefore. L'kuda daka akas nedreshes mimenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the slightest, the smallest, the thinnest. The Kolstein, Mechabur Shalema, so B'nai Torah, how did Rav Dessler know about you guys? Years ago, he wrote about you guys. The Kolstein, Mechabur Shalema, so B'nai Torah. Shebenakav Chudesh Al Makat, the smallest hole, the pin of the needle. Rak Shebedak Mamash, he said, Mamash, the smallest amount, the thinnest amount. Imhu Rak Naka, Mufulish, it has to go through Me'eva La'eva, all the way through. Epshaliskos ba'usha ruchni otsu. Remarkable. It's possible to be zocha, to merit such a tremendous spirituality. Chelikdor v'doros mamish, generations and generations. Masha'ein l'shah klal mirosh. Somebody says, what can my tefillah accomplish? This is the answer. Imagine one bracha a day. One Birchas HaShachar a day. One extra word of Tefillah a day. Be'ez Hashem, what I understand is that the community would be learning praying with meaning. The reason why praying with meaning was written was not just to write another explanation in a part of Tefillah. Be'ez Hashem, there are unbelievably, tremendously written great books on Tefillah. But the purpose of this was what I'm talking about this evening. 5 minutes a day to take a part of tefillah and to connect the experience of the good that we experience in life to the words of the tefillah that talk about it. And through that we'll be able to connect our experiences, the emunah chushis that Rav Soloveitchik talked about, that we mentioned that unfortunately Noach HaTzadik says the stipler did not have, and therefore he was called Miktanei Amonah. If we're able to accomplish one extra bracha, one extra Birchas HaShachar, one extra or a few extra words in tefillah, we do what Rabbi Akiva did. It's constant, it's small, but he lived in the moment. He took the concept of mindfulness and he actually utilized it to say, look at that rock, you know what that can do for me? If we stop when we say a bracha, we say words in tefillah, and we connect all the positive experiences that we have to the tefillah, we'll be able to grow in emunah. We'll be able to grow to the level of emunah chushis, which will help to heighten our davening, to increase the level of kavanah. And in that schus, what the Michtar Meliyahu writes, that's right, in our generation, with all the darkness out there, if we light that little match in the world of darkness, we can bring the aur to illuminate it and to bring the geula to Klai Yisrael b'meheirah v'yameinu. Amen.